It's the time of year when the Supreme Court cranks out major decisions on a wide variety of topics. Yesterday's bundle included a ruling on the power of states to widen beaches without paying compensation to homeowners. There was a decision on texting and privacy. And the court invalidated hundreds of decisions by the National Labor Relations Board because there were too few commissioners to form a quorum. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The texting decision was long awaited by a generation of tweeters and Twitterers. The question was whether a police department had violated the rights of one of its officers by auditing his personal text messages on police department cell phones. Sergeant Jeff Kwan paid for the private text messages, but when a police department audit turned up sexually explicit material, he was reprimanded. He sued, claiming his right to privacy had been violated, and won in the lower courts. Yesterday, however, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that even if Kwan had an expectation of privacy, the police department had reasonably audited his texts. The court's ruling left unresolved the question that both employers and employees had been waiting for, whether electronic communications, like text messages, are so pervasive that even when they take place on government-supplied devices, there's an expectation of privacy for the worker. A separate ruling involved not private messages, but private and public property, and the impact of the court's decision is likely to be nationwide. At issue was whether the state of Florida can widen its beaches to protect against erosion without paying compensation to private property owners who may lose their exclusive right to the water. The case pitted Florida's efforts to restore its storm-eroded beaches against the rights of waterfront homeowners to keep the public from frolicking and sunbathing in front of their homes. For decades, state and local governments in Florida have spent millions of dollars in restoring beaches eroded by storms. Officials say that beach restoration protects roads, infrastructure, the state's tourism industry, and private beachfront property from future storm damage. But a group of private beachfront homeowners saw it differently.
It was simply a land grab.
Slade Lindsay is among a small group of private property owners who challenged the beach restoration project.
We were angry that someone could come in and rewrite our deeds.
The Florida Supreme Court ruled that the state wasn't rewriting anyone's deed. Rather, the state was simply adding sand on top of previously submerged land that Florida owned. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously agreed, noting that the state court's decision was based on a public-private balance long accepted under state law. Property law experts said the decision would have a nationwide effect since 35 states abut either the ocean or the Great Lakes. Richard Michael Frank is director of the California Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment at Berkeley Law School.
In terms of, water boundary law, the Florida law, as interpreted here, represents kind of the majority view among coastal states. So to the extent that the court has articulated and, for the most part, reaffirmed longstanding state coastal boundary law principles, they are likely to have relatively broad application across the country.
Property rights advocates were disappointed, but said the silver lining was that four justices for the first time said there may be cases in the future that are so egregious they violate the federal Constitution's ban on a government taking of private property without compensation. In a third important decision, the court ruled 5-4 that the National Labor Relations Board, the federal agency which referees disputes between labor and management, cannot make decisions with only two board members. For more than 2 years, the agency ruled on hundreds of cases with only two board members. In March of this year, President Obama went around the Senate by making two appointments during a congressional recess. But in the meantime, more than 500 cases had been resolved by the two-member board. Yesterday's court ruling voids those NLRB decisions. Writing for the High Court majority was Justice John Paul Stevens, the court's most liberal member, joined by the court's four conservatives. If Congress had intended to authorize two members to act alone, he said, it could have done so. Instead, Congress imposed a three-member minimum as a quorum, allowing two members to run the agency because Congress and the White House can't agree on new members, he said, would be letting the board create a tail that would not only wag the dog, but would continue to wag after the dog has died. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.